Let me pause and take this day of thanksgiving also to thank the congregation again for the privilege of serving you as pastor. Thank you for extending to me the call to be your pastor and to stand before you week after week and to bring you God's word. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this Thanksgiving Sunday is this: Words are not enough. Based on Romans 12, verse 1, where St. Paul writes, "In view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices to God, which is your reasonable service." Again, our title, Words Are Not Enough. Follow along with the blue outline insert as we consider our sermon today. Story is told of a cranky old grandmother. Do you know any cranky old grandmothers? Well, this cranky old grandmother was a person who never said please or thank you to anyone. And one day she was on the beach with her only grandson, reading a magazine as he was playing near the water. And suddenly a big wave came and swept him out to sea, and the little boy couldn't swim, and he cried for help, and the grandma ran down to the water's edge, fell on her knees and said, "Lord, you know I have never asked you for anything in my life. Please save him, he's my only grandson." No sooner had she finished this prayer than another wave came and deposited the boy right at her feet. And then she said, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my grandson. But, you know, he did have a little hat on his head." Thank you, but. Does that sound like us? Thanks, Lord, but. Often our thanks are given to God with reservations. Our thanks are given with exceptions. This is a sign that our thanks are just too often a bunch of words and not an expression of our love and our trust and how our loving God provides for us. You see, look at your sermon outline. Words are simply not enough. But words of thanks are owed to God. Thanksgiving was not just a once-per-year event in the life of the people of Israel. King David appointed special priests to lead the people of God to give thanks to God twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. Listen to 1 Chronicles 16. David appointed Levites to give thanks and praise the Lord. They were standing every morning to thank God and to do the same every evening. And 400 years later, when a special feast or celebration was called, David placed special singers of every size and shape, male and female, boys and girls, old and young, all on the walls of Jerusalem to sing their praises to God. Listen to Nehemiah 12. "And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing and thanksgivings to God, because he had given them so much joy. Men and women, boys and girls, and the sounds of thanksgiving in Jerusalem could be heard for many miles away." Israel even had special songs of thanksgiving. We find these songs in the book of Psalms. Let me just share two brief ones, 105 and Psalm 107. "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known among the nations what he has done, sing to him, thank him, tell of all his wonderful acts." And this is probably more familiar to you, Psalm 107, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, his love endures forever." Countless times in Jesus' own life and ministry, he paused to give thanks to his Father in heaven. Listen to this account from Matthew 11 and then Matthew 15. Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you have revealed them, the truths of the kingdom, to little children." And from Matthew 15, Jesus took the loaves and fish in his hands, and he gave thanks to his Father, and he broke them and gave them to the disciples to feed the 5,000. The early church also gave thanks. The early church of God had a motto, had a theme. If they had a nice church sign like we had today, this would be the theme they would see for all their neighbors to read. It's written in Colossians 3. "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, in all things, give thanks to God through the Lord Jesus Christ." And this thanks of the early church was not to end in this life. This thanks was to continue forever in heaven. Because in Revelation chapter 7, we have a vision of heaven. And what is the church of God doing in heaven? They're thanking him again. Listen to the text. "And there was a great multitude from every tribe, every nation, standing before the throne, crying aloud with a loud voice, 'Praise and glory and thanksgiving be to our God forever and ever.'" It's been said that if we had to pick the one word that would best describe the nature of faith in the Holy Scriptures, it would be this word, thanksgiving. You see, words can be cheap, but true thanksgiving is always costly. Just ask Daniel, that young boy of Daniel in the lion's den fame. Daniel was a Hebrew boy serving in the court of the Persian king. And the king had a dream. And in his dream, he then made a decree. He had a statue built, and he told the people of his land, "I am God, and you must bow down before me and worship me as God." But Daniel refused, because Daniel knew the first commandment, Brock, that we talked about in confirmation last Thursday. God knew, Daniel knew the first commandment, "I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me." And Daniel wouldn't bow to the statue. Listen to this account in Daniel chapter 6. "Now when Daniel learned about the decree that it had been published, he went to his home in his upstairs room, and three times every day he bowed and gave thanks to God as he had done his whole life. But then some men went as a group and found Daniel praying to God. So they went to the king and said, 'Did you not publish a decree that anyone who prays to any god but you would be thrown into the lion's den and killed?' So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him in to the den of lions." True thanksgiving is costly. It's a matter of our lives, not just the words that we speak. North America, are you listening? North America, thanksgiving is more than just a one-day pig out. Thanksgiving is more than an excuse for overeating or overindulging. Thanksgiving is more than just a national day off from work. God does not need, God is not pleased by our one holiday a year that can exuberate in excess and forget the needs of others. From Amos chapter 5, our reading for today, in a different part of the chapter, listen to these words from God about the people of Israel who gathered for excess on their Thanksgiving Day. Let these words apply to Canada. Let these words apply to America. Let these words apply to us today. God says, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Away with the noise of your songs. But let justice roll on like a river. Let righteousness flow like a never-failing stream. What does he mean? In the Old Testament, righteousness means to walk the walk of faith and not just talk the talk when it's convenient. Justice means treating with respect and with care those who are less fortunate than we are, people who are in need physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This Thanksgiving, my friends, do you really want to thank God? Then love your brother. Care for that person in need in your life. Listen to 1 John 4. We love because God first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates my brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, he cannot love God whom he has not seen. Whoever loves God must love his brother. That is to say, if we're going to claim we love God, we must take care of those who are in need. If you want to give God thanksgiving this Thanksgiving holiday, then look out for someone who isn't physical or emotional or mental or spiritual need. We need not look far. They live in our same houses. They're amidst of our relatives. They belong to this church. They're our co-workers. They're people we go to school with. They are neighbors and our friends. Thanksgiving to God means loving the brother in need. St. Paul sums all of this up. It's the key verse of our sermon, Romans 12, verse 1. Listen carefully to this verse. Paul says, in view of God's mercies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. This is your reasonable act of service, living sacrifice. True thanksgiving includes our very lives, not just the words we speak. Reasonable service, says Paul. The word for service in the Greek language is the word we also use for worship. Paul says thanksgiving is a life of worship and not just words that we speak. And how do we worship God Monday through Saturday? By the way we care for others, in Jesus' name, who are in need. But most important, Paul says, our thanksgivings, what did he say in Romans 12, verse 1? We give thanks in view of God's mercies. What are the costly mercies of God from which our thanksgivings flow? Look here. The costly mercies of God. The forgiveness of your sins is free. The gift of everlasting life is free to you and to me. But it cost dearly. The costly mercies of God. For God so loved this sinful world that forgets to give him thanks. He sent his one and only beloved Son, and he died for you. He took my place on Calvary's cross. He washed our sins away. In view of God's mercies, Paul says, we give our lives as living sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. So that the motto of this church, the motto of our home should be this, Lord, all that I say, Lord, all that I do, all that I have, all that I am, is in view of your costly mercies. I want to end my message today with a story that I have shared in the past. But I could think of no more fitting way to end this Thanksgiving message than the story from my youth. When I was 10 years old, the thing I wanted more than anything else in life was a new baseball glove. Now, I was just home in Spokane over the week. I was doing in Spokane what my wife is doing in Edmonton for 2 weeks, moving our parents into a nursing home, a care center. But as I got Mom's room straightened up, she pulled out and put on her dresser a photo of the four of us kids, and there I am with a crew cut, and by golly, I had hair. And Mama says, "Do you remember that picture? That was taken on Grandma's piano bench. I remember the day. It was at Thanksgiving." And all of us are lined up. And there I am looking quite 1964-ish. But when I was 10 years old, what I wanted more than anything else was a new ball glove because my baseball glove had completely worn out. But at this time in our family's life, we were quite poor and struggling. We were living on government assistance, welfare, it's called in the States. My dad's job was not bringing in enough money to feed us. They couldn't afford to buy me a new baseball glove. And for months before Thanksgiving, Dad had been saving nickels and dimes from his paychecks to buy a new pair of shoes because his work shoes had holes in the bottom. You could see light through them. But instead of buying himself a new pair of shoes, he bought me a new baseball glove. And then he went out and found cardboard and put it in the bottom of his shoes so his feet wouldn't hit the ground because of the holes. This was an act of love that overwhelmed me at age 10 and means so much more to me since my father now is in heaven. And this baseball glove became for me a symbol of my father's love for me. And even though I told him, "Thank you," many times with my mouth, I just knew that words were not enough. I wanted to live as the best son I could be to give him my thanks by my words and my life for his act of love for me. My dear friends in Christ, how much more has your Heavenly Father done for you? May we each day of our lives, and not just one day a year, demonstrate thanksgiving with our very lives. Why? Because words are not enough. In the name of Jesus, amen.